Hey guys, it's Kira. And I just got the results back from a second round of blood work that I did to dive deeper on my thyroid. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you're gonna see I'm looking over at my computer a little bit just because I wanna make sure that I get everything into this video. And if you're listening to me on Spotify or iTunes or just the podcast, then you're not gonna notice. But anyway, so I just wanna make sure that like I share everything with you guys because I am an open book. I am using this experience to learn and to be able to help you guys. So if you are listening to this and you identify with any of these things, then please reach out to me. I will help you get to the bottom of this because, you know, one of the things that I talk about with all my clients, as well as just other people that I meet in passing. Literally today, I met a girl as I was buying things for Frank at the dog store. And we talked about how frustrating it is in the current medical industry and how you don't have access to everything that you want, and your doctor may not listen to you, or you know, your doctor is just following their protocol and what they have been trained and taught to do, and that does not include optimal ranges. So we have to advocate for ourselves and sometimes take other paths to find out what is actually going on inside of our bodies, because we should know. It's our bodies, we have the right. And I am doing this for myself. I can help you do it as well, or at least give you some of my insight and the things that I've learned through my own education and my own resource and now my own experience. So the biggest things that like my symptoms that I have been experiencing that I'm not really a fan of are my skin. It feels like it's aging much quicker than it has to. I've got a lot of under eye wrinkles that I'm very embarrassed about. I'm very self-conscious of this. My hair is breaking. It's very brittle. I thankfully have decent hair growth and thankfully do not at this time have hair thinning or shedding, but I have hair breakage. My whole scalp actually feels, it's very dry. Now I live in Florida and so I don't really have terrible dry skin because I live in a swamp, but and as a matter of fact, when I was just in Arizona and prior to that, when I was in Utah, my skin was incredibly dry. It did not matter how much water I drank. When I was in Utah, I was having really bad nosebleeds because like it's just so dry and my skin itself is incredibly dry. I have puffiness in my face. Like I wake up in the mornings and like can't really see because my eyes are so incredibly puffy. I go to bed at night, my feet are really cold. I retain water. I've always retained water. I've always been like that person that's just on the side of puffy as a whole, but it's gotten exceedingly worse over the last like 6 months or so, to the point where like putting on jeans is really uncomfortable, and it's not like a fat gain situation. It's literally like I look at my toes and they look like little sausages. My fingers will swell up and I can't wear my wedding rings. So those are all of my things that are happening, but then also my LDL is going up. So, and then my testosterone is going down. I've got some other stuff like showing up in my blood work, but you know, as far as like symptoms go, those are the symptoms that I'm dealing with and they don't work for me. So, and then earlier this year, thankfully I've gotten under control my sleeping, but I was waking up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, just being like alert and ready to work. That's not great. My cravings have been terrible. I was gaining lower belly fat, but thankfully I've gotten that quite under control, especially the sleep. Knock on wood, my sleep has been really outstanding the last month and a half to 2 months now, because I have already been doing a lot of the lifestyle stuff to calm my nervous system. So all of these things, then, you know, I get my hair tissue mineral analysis that comes back, shows that my calcium, magnesium, sodium, and potassium are all high. And so this is called like a four, it's called four highs. And that is a person who is like, I do it all and I'm on top of everything. Really just that like kind of type A personality. Even though I don't have a type A personality, I'm not a perfectionist at all, but I'm still very much that person who wants to like do and see and be it all. And just constantly showing up, like I'm here, I'm showing up. But like, but because of that, I am stressed out. And so it's just like this, a way of the body adapting to that chronic stress. And it can actually slow down the metabolism, hence the lower belly fat. I've also created what is called a calcium shell. And so if you like think about the exterior of a cell, like our cell wall, it's calcifying because it's tired of getting inundated with all these stress hormones and alerts to like keep going. And so it creates this little protective shell around itself, and that's called a calcium shell, which showed up in my hair tissue mineral analysis. So if you think about it now, like when things calcify, they kind of harden, right? Which explains like why my hair feels so hard and my skin is so dry. So that calcium shell is there and it's doing it as a protective mechanism. So I've got to do some things on my own to get that to subside. Then in addition to that, I also have low sodium to potassium. And that's, I think that has always kind of been like the case for me, not just in my tissues, but just in my blood in general, because I've always like even as a kid, I remember like standing up and getting really dizzy. I just tend to have more low blood pressure, but that's showing up in my tissues as well, which is indicative of heavy chronic stress. So I've got all these patterns that are going on that are saying like, hey, you know, your body is really stressed out. And then you add in all of those symptoms that I've been experiencing. And so I'm like, you know, all of this stuff is adding up and it's showing like in my hair tissue mineral analysis, which is like this great kind of like lay of the land overview that can point you in the direction of like, hey, your adrenals may need support and something's going on here. Or hey, your blood sugar, there's something going on with your blood sugar. There's something going on with your hormones. And for me, it was coming up for all of them. But stress patterns and thyroid. And so I'm like, okay, between all of those symptoms that I'm experiencing, which don't inherently mean like hypothyroid, but between the hair tissue mineral analysis and then experiencing all those symptoms, I'm like, okay, so let's look at my blood work. And I had blood work done back in June of 2025, October of 2025. And then I did more earlier in May of 2026. So I try and get standard labs done, but then also dive deeper into some certain things, which we'll talk about. But I get that done, you know, about every 6 months. I order my blood work. I take it, or it gets sent to Quest. I set my appointment at Quest. I show up, I do it, and then I get my results. And so if you want to order your own blood work and you don't want to have to go through your doctor and you don't want to have to go through health insurance, which I don't do because I don't want to support the medical industry any more than I have to. So I don't do health insurance. I have like absolute emergency health insurance. So I don't have like any kind of wellness whatsoever. It's like if I show up to the emergency room, like I have a $10,000 deductible and like I pay $150 a month for it. So I do my own stuff. So if you don't want to go through the rigmarole of health insurance, ordering blood work, actually ordering the hair tissue mineral analysis is a great place to start, because like I said, it's that lay of the land. But then once you do that, and then if you want to dive in further into certain labs in blood work, we can do that too. It's really inexpensive. I know the health insurance company wouldn't want to hear me that. I'd definitely get canceled from the health insurance company, but I don't care. So I did more in terms of my thyroid. So, all right, so thyroid, we've got thyroid stimulating hormone, and people are probably very familiar with that. That is like a typical lab that any healthy normal person will generally see. So that's created by your brain, and it tells your thyroid, it's like, hey, do something. And so when the brain feels like more thyroid activity is needed, then you'll have more thyroid stimulating hormone. And there are certain numbers here. I'm actually gonna tell you, standard ranges are 0.45 to 4.12, optimal being 0.5 to 2.5. Mine was, it was going up. It only ever ended up, I have this in my notes, it only ever ended up going up to 2.69, and that's what it was. I'm sorry, it ended up going to 3.24 this past May, but it had trended up from June 2025 to October 2025, and then May 2026. Like, it went up, up, up. Now, still, I'm not, like, a regular doctor wouldn't look at any of those numbers and think anything was wrong. But one, it's, to me, especially that last one, it was above optimal. It's still within normal, but it's above optimal. But then also the fact that it had been trending up, to me, is alarming. So then we've got T4. And again, if you're doing a thyroid panel, like your basic thyroid panel, which a lot of people will have you do, that's going to include T4. So the thyroid gland primarily produces T4, but it's unusable. So it's got to get converted into the usable form, which is T3. This might be described as like a storage form, but it's got to be converted via the gut and via the liver to T3. So if we have something compromised in either of those organs, then you're not gonna have adequate T3, which is the usable form. You might have plenty of T4, but that doesn't really mean a hill of beans. So yeah, that conversion has to go down. And then there's also reverse T3. Now this is one I actually just went back in, and after I got my blood work back in early May of 2026, I ended up doing a few more labs just to dive in deeper. And reverse T3 is like, it's really not, it's like a dig in deeper, and a typical doctor isn't going to order this unless they're like, okay, we actually need to look at this and determine what is going on with your thyroid. So reverse T3 is also an inactive form of thyroid. But it's like the opposite of regular T3, reverse T3. It's not usable, but it will go up during times of stress, whether it's like, you know, just like work stress or like some kind of trauma takes place. You've got like calorie restriction, or like some kind of an illness that basically is your body trying to conserve energy. It's like, I'm gonna put the brakes on and kind of keep this in the tank. So, and then I also did my antibodies. I did thyroglobulin antibody and anti-TPO, both of which came back good for me, which that is, I wanted to do that. I didn't have any reason to believe that I had any kind of autoimmune stuff going on, but I just wanted to pull those just to verify that I, in fact, do not have any autoimmune stuff going on. So I've got my TSH trending up. My free T3 was moving in the right direction, but still not in that optimal range. And so that's my overall T3. Then my reverse T3, like I said, that was the one that I wanted to dig in deeper on, and my reverse T3 came back at 16, which you want optimally, like in a standard test, like a regular doctor would say anywhere between 8 and 25 is great. But optimally, for optimal health, you want it under 15, and mine is minus 16. So not terrible, but it's elevated. So with that TSH going up, and even though T4 is fine, that means I'm making it, but I don't have enough of that usable form because that reverse T3 is putting my brakes on. So overall, my thyroid is, I've got a little bit of hypothyroidism going on. So going back and looking at what all of my symptoms that I've been having, it totally tracks, right? But then, you know, we talked about the sodium, potassium, calcium, and magnesium all being high and me having that calcium shell. Now, remember, like I talk a lot about my hair breakage too. That is, I've got, so in my hair tissue mineral analysis, it showed that I have low copper. So, but then I went in and I tested my blood levels for copper and the ceruloplasm of copper, which is like the transport vehicle that like gets the copper into where it needs to go. And those were good, but blood work is just like a snapshot in time. Hair tissue mineral analysis is talking about what's been going on in my body for like 3 months. So think about it like A1C basically versus like what your blood sugar is right then and there. And because like, okay, so my copper in my body is actually pretty good. And I did all this, took a lot of digging and a lot of research to try and fully understand. But basically what I have learned is that while I technically do have, I have a good amount of copper, but because of that calcium shell and because I'm in such a state of stress, my body is like, you can't use this. So then on top of the fact that my thyroid, which is the master gland for my metabolism, I'm also getting that hair breakage, I'm getting the skin damage, and I'm getting histamine intolerance, which is like allergies, from having unavailable copper. I've got copper, I just can't use it. So now we've got all of this going on. I have literally seen inside my cells, and I've seen via my blood work, that my body is stressed. So what am I to do? Because I don't want my hair to continue to break. I've had enough of that. I want my skin to look better. So what do I do? Well, what I've been doing, this has been phenomenal, is I have been just like chilling out. I take time during my day to just like sit down, pet Frank, hang out with him, stop working for just a few minutes, go on walks without being glued to my phone screen. I'm just not drawn to meditation. So like I'll be in the shower and I'll just be like chilling in the shower and I'll like take like 5 really deep inhales and exhales, read more, journal, just the things that call to me. Those are those things, just trying to find more joy throughout my day, but then also just not allowing myself to get rattled. You know, things would really aggravate me and I would let them just kind of like stay in my brain and I would dwell on them and fixate on them, and I'm just not allowing myself to do that anymore. I am toying around with some adaptogens. I'm not really ready to fully talk about those yet, but I've been doing some things that have been helping my brain and just like kind of let go of stuff. And then, let's see. I did do some dietary changes. I'm making sure that I'm supporting my detox pathways through cruciferous vegetables, sulfur foods, including onion, garlic, and egg yolks. I make sure that, remember how I said my potassium is low? I'm making sure that I'm getting more potassium foods through black beans, potatoes, bananas. I'm not allowing myself to go too long without food, because not only does that mess with your blood sugar, but it also creates stress in your body. My training hasn't changed. I never felt like I was overtraining or like doing too much cardio or too much high intensity training. I'm very happy with where that is. But the fact that I'm sleeping more, I'm doing those parasympathetic activities, which is allowing me to sleep more, is helping with everything. And scaling back alcohol, trying to scale back sugar. I mean, to an extent, you know, I still let myself have sugar some, but just making sure that like I am keeping my body really nourished through high vitamin and mineral foods. I'm taking my electrolytes every day. I'm making sure that I add salt to every meal. I am taking my magnesium every single night and just making sure that I'm getting my nourishment through foods. And two of the other big things is, I had some iron overload stuff going on, but I think that was coincidental. And either way, I have removed a certain supplement that I was taking that had vitamin C in it. So I get plenty of vitamin C in bell peppers and other foods. So removing that vitamin C supplement, removing my zinc, and not that it's, my zinc is actually a little on the lower side, but I'm eating a lot of foods that have copper and zinc in them, like shellfish. I'm making sure that I eat shellfish twice a week. But because my zinc is so high to my copper, I just don't want that ratio to continue to go to get bigger. So I had a supplement that I was taking and that had zinc in it. And so I removed that supplement. So it was like a blend that helps with histamine levels. And so it was a blend and I broke it down and I'm doing the NAC on its own and the quercetin on its own, because those are the things that are going to help my body create what it needs to create on its own. So that way I can, you know, help with those, with the histamine battle. I'm still taking my enzymes with food, my hydrochloric acid with food, my DAO with food, which all helps my body digest food properly and break things down. And there was one other one. I was taking glutathione just to like support my detox pathways, but I think it was actually kind of like speeding things up. And I was talking to my doctor about it and she was like, I think that the glutathione is actually a little bit too much for your body. So I'm taking that out as well. So, there's a lot that can be done. So next week, I'm going to talk more about the perimenopause aspect of things, because I've got some progesterone stuff going on and I want to share that with you guys, but I'm going to wait until the next vlog to talk about that. So like I said, I'm an open book. I'm so happy to answer any questions that you have. If you identify with any of the stuff, if you feel like this is you, let's chat and I'll help you navigate this to the best of my ability. So thanks for listening and I'll see you and talk to you in next week's pod blog.